Okay, a sort of halachic issue that emerges from last week's parsha, but it emerges several times in Sefer Bereishis. So Chazal, in three different places, based on last week's parsha, derived the rule that zrizin makdimin la mitzvot, that we always try to do mitzvot with alacrity as quickly as possible. At three different places in Chazal, they point to three different psukim in last week's parsha. In the Gemara in Psachim Dav Dalet, it points to the pasuk by Avram going to the Akedah, that Avram got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey to go to the Akedah. In the Midrashim, in the Psikta, and in the Sifrei, they point to two other psukim, either the Vayashkem, when Avram got up to continue his tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with stone, or Avram running to do the Hachnasas Orchem and bring the food to the Malachim. At the beginning of last week's Parsha, but three places in last week's Parsha, different Ma'amari Chazal point to that as the source for Zrizin Makdim L'mitzvot, this notion they should always do mitzvot as quickly and as early as possible. Russia Weiss, in several places in his writings, in Chazasher, derives from this a yesod that he carries through much of Bereishis and much of the Torah. And he wonders, how is it that we derive a halacha from Avram? Before Matan Torah, there were no formal mitzvos. Even if Avram, as Chazal say, kept the mitzvos, we have a rule that anything that happened before Sinai is not binding. We are only bound by things that happen after Sinai. As the Rambam explores at length in the 7th parak of Chulin, in the Perush HaMishnayos, and in the Tshuvot as well. So how could it be that the Gemara is deriving a halachic principle from what Avram did? So he sets out a yesod, which I mentioned in Daf Yomi 6.5 weeks ago, I think it was now, what he calls Ratzon HaTorah. And he notes that in addition to law and to formal mitzvot, there's another category of things that bind us spiritually, and that's what he calls the will of the Torah, the more general will of God that is conveyed through the stories and the spirit of the Torah. And one of the examples he points to prove his point is this Ma'amar Chazal. And he notes that here we're deriving from Avram Avinu in three different places this idea of Zrizin Makdim in the Mitzvot, even though Avram is not engaged in a classic mitzvah. And if, in fact, Zrizin Makdimen were a formal mitzvah, then we would have a problem. How could we derive it from before Sinai? How could we derive it from cases when Avram was not involved in formal mitzvot? But he answers that, no, what you see from here is that there's this notion of Ratzon HaTorah, and even if we say there aren't formal mitzvot from the period of Bereishis until Matan Torah, we can derive what the Torah views as valuable, and that should be binding as well. He gives a second example, also from last week's parasha, and this is what I mentioned in Daf Yomi, is that the Gemara in Nazir, the bottom of Chavchet Amud Bet through Chavchet Amud Aleph, in the context of discussing a parent, a father's ability to make his child a Nazir, wonders if a mother is able to make her son a Nazir, and whether a father is able to make his daughter a Nazir, or whether the halacha is limited to a father and son. And the Gemara there says that it's limited to a father and son, and has two positions, either because it's halacha l'moshe misinai, it's a tradition that's the case, or alternatively, maybe mothers are not obligated in chinuch, and the obligation to educate their children, and maybe daughters, we have no obligation to educate them. And there's a machlokas rishonim whether the Gemara means it or not. Half the Rishonim say that the Gemara doesn't mean it as a general rule. It means specifically nazir, which is the Gemara already views in ambivalent terms. It might not really be a mitzvah. It might be more of an avera under extenuating circumstances. We don't really like that you're going to be a nazir and you're going to cause yourself pain. Or it's this, it's because the child is still a minor and we're not training him to be a nazir when he gets older. So there's a special law that you're able to train him in prishut and being able to separate from physical desires when he's a child, but it's not real nazirus. And that's a unique law that we give to fathers and sons, but really, mothers are obligated in educating their children, and you must educate your daughters as well as sons. But other Rishonim really claim that only fathers are obligated to educate their children, and they're only obligated to educate their sons, and they take this Gemara as a universal rule. But Rav Asher Weiss argues, I think compellingly, that even if that's true on a strict halachic level, it's not true on what he calls the Ratzon HaTorah level. He notes that in last week's parsha, when God explains why it is that he chose Avram Avinu to form the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he says in Bereishis Yudchet Yudtet, L'man Asher Yitzaved Vanavet Beitova Charav, because I know that he will educate his children to follow the ways of justice, to follow the ways of God. And Rav Asher notes that if the reason that Avram is chosen is because he is going to educate his children to do the right thing, then even if we were to accept that women do not have the formal obligation to educate their children, and you don't formally have to educate your daughter the way you do your son, obviously the general notion that you have to educate your children has biblical value, even if it doesn't have the force of a technical mitzvah. And he notes, for example, that the Rambam, in his list of things for which you lose your chelek in Olam Haba and you can't do tshuva, one of them is someone who sees his child going off the derech and doesn't attempt to protest. So he said, if this is such an egregious sin that you don't even try to educate your children, then it must be that it's not, right, even if it's not a formal obligation, it is a deep expression of the values of the Torah. And based on these two incidents in last week's parsha, he develops this theme that he carries through in other places, that in addition to the formal letter of the law, we are bound by the spirit as well. He brings other examples, such as Tzar Bali Chaim, which the Gemara calls De'oraisa, but the Rishonim and Achronim struggle and offer at least 11 suggestions as to what the source is, and he argues that it's Ratzon HaTorah, it's this general will of the Torah. He also notes that there is that the technical laws of Kivud Av V'Em only apply to helping your parents physically, but it's not exactly clear what the source is for the more general obligation to listen to your parents' wishes. And he notes that the Chazon Ish in Yerodea Simen Kuf Mem Tet argues as well that that is Ratzon HaTorah, that once we know the Torah wants you to listen to your parents and help them, it must extend to a more general obligation. And this theme really carries through much of Rav Asher Weiss's writings, and I think it's an important idea to think about, that these stories in Bereishis, even if they don't contain formal laws, they do contain values of the law that do influence how we act, and then are fundamental to the values of the Torah.